It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. I am once again your host, Rich Keith, joined by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Hello.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. That's like the little Seinfeld, kind of.
I'm trying something. Hey. Hello.
Hello. Or we could just go Mrs. Doubtfire route. Hello.
I think it's a combination of the three. I got to commit more next
yeah.
time I do an intro.
It's yeah. in there all together. So here's the deal. For those who have are relatively new to Hashtag Dork, if there's a new movie that comes out, for example, today's episode on Logan, we will still do This Week in Hashtag Dork, and then we will do a spoiler-free portion of Logan, or the movie, or the season of the TV show, or whatever it is that we're breaking down, and then we'll get into spoilers, and then wrap up with Pick of the Podcast. Therefore, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you could still listen to, you know, maybe almost half of the podcast. At least that's what we're trying to do, so you can let others know that it is still a... we're not going to just jump right in and be like, oh my God, can you believe so-and-so died? We'd like to
yeah.
spare you a little bit from there. Good?
Yeah.
Makes
let's
sense?
Do it. All right, yeah, I'm ready to go.
Let's go.
This week in the Dork. Yeah!
Good news, Davey. Hashtag Dork Madness is back. The second year we have done the 64-field tournament to crown something in the dork world. Last year we did best comic book movie. We went from 64 down to 1, and I was looking at it in The Dark Knight defeated The Avengers in the final. I think Iron Man and Guardians of the Galaxy were the other final four teams, but there were some upsets along the way, and it was pretty good. However, the first round was kind of a snore, you know, right? Because we had some just, you know,
yeah.
beat downs, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas this year, I think we're better set for some good ones. And the voting will take place throughout the entire month on our Twitter timeline, at Dork Podcast. If you follow along there, you can vote. They'll be up. We'll do two or three or four every day until we crown a winner. And so the ones today, let me get your quick thoughts on the ones that I posted already today.
Yeah, well, I already voted, so.
Good.
I can tell you exactly what I did.
So again, the 116s I feel like are still going to be pretty lopsided, but not nearly as lopsided as they were during the movies. But we split it up into four regions: Marvel heroes, Marvel villains, DC heroes, DC villains. We started today with Marvel heroes. The one seed was Iron Man against Storm.
And Storm did not do well.
No, Storm's getting killed last check.
Yep. Yeah, so I went with the obvious pick in Iron Man.
I also, this was the region I had the hardest time seeding and keeping it to 16. Like, we went over it a little bit last week, and we tried to figure out who the picks were going to be.
Right.
But, like, I left out Nightcrawler, I left out Cyclops, I left out Gambit. Like, it was just really difficult.
It's really hard. I mean, and we're doing this based on who would win in a fight, but based on popularity, right? Who their favorite is, right?
Yeah, I want to see who people like the most. So I try. So again, these aren't necessarily my 16 favorite or Davey's 16 favorite. It's just the 16 most popular in my mind Marvel heroes.
And not only that, like, we can't watch everything, and we also can't make like 128 character bracket.
Right, that's insane.
That's just not going to work. That's going to take the rest of the year.
That's insane. I do appreciate, though, I've gotten a lot of tweets already and some emails about, oh, I wish so-and-so was in it, or how did you not have so-and-so? That's fine. Sparks debate. I like it. The 8-9 matchup, Davey, was, and is going to go right down to the wire. I put Daredevil as an 8 seed and Star-Lord as the 9.
Which is, that's, oof. Like, talk about a, you know, first round matchup. Like, that's something. I expected both of those two to go deep.
Yeah.
At least the Sweet 16 for both of them. And one of them's out.
One of them's going to be out. Oh, and so another one of the good questions that we've gotten is this based off of movies? Is it based off of comics? And so what I've been saying is it's just your favorite version of that character.
Okay.
So Daredevil, there are some of the greatest comic books ever written. Like, the Frank Miller stuff is Daredevil. There's also the TV show, which people like. There also happens to be the Ben Affleck movie. Like, there's a wide range of Daredevil stuff. Star-Lord, the comics, I don't think people are as familiar with. I think just the love of Guardians of the Galaxy is going to potentially get Star-Lord through.
Yeah, I voted that way, only because he's a hot ticket item right now. And I'm a huge Chris Pratt fan. I think he can do no wrong. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan, too. So
yep.
One of the, and probably the best character on that show, Andy Dwyer.
Yeah, he was great.
You know, Johnny Karate. So I thought, I think, you know, that one's going to pull through. A little bit of, you know, an upset, but that's okay.
And that, I'll tell you, Iron Man's going to have his work cut out for him in the next round, too, even as a one seed. The other two matchups I threw out there for today were Captain America versus Punisher, and then Deadpool versus Captain Marvel, which looks like is going to be a bloodbath.
Deadpool is, literally. When I voted, there were like 60-something votes, and it was like 98%.
Yeah, no, that's nobody likes like Captain Marvel.
No.
Well, and what's Deadpool doesn't. It seems like he's kind of low, but then when you go through it, the guys I put ahead of him were like seeding wise was Iron Man, Wolverine, Spider-Man, and Captain America, which are all insanely popular.
Right. So how are you gonna argue that? You know.
You can't.
You can't.
Do you have any real issues with any of the people I put in or the seedings?
No, not right off the bat. I do not. There are some very heavy mismatches coming up in the other brackets too. So I'm interested to see if there's ever an upset where it's going to be.
Also, another, I wouldn't say it was a complaint. Maybe it was. You can call it a complaint if you want. But they were saying I right now have Marvel on like sort of one side of the bracket and DC on the other. So the only Marvel versus DC you're going to get is in the championship.
I do not disagree with that.
Okay, good, because somebody said it should have been all heroes on one and all villains on the other, but this I like better because you'll actually get the final four will be the best Marvel hero versus the best Marvel villain and vice versa, which I think is better.
That is better.
Good. Sold.
Yep. Sold.
All right. Also in this week and a half, so again, follow along at Dork Podcast all month long as we try to figure out who the best or most popular Marvel/DC character is. We also had Last Man on Earth was back this week. It was the Kristen Wiig episode. Did you get a chance to see it?
I did not.
It was great. It was really good. It was, not to give anything away, but it was almost all Kristen Wiig. But then it also ties into something that happened earlier in the year or earlier in the season. So
All right. It's
definitely worth watching because of her. We will now do the Davey Taboo Minute if you want to get us up to speed on what's going on with Taboo, or at least – the least amount of spoilers as possible, but why is Taboo worth watching on FX?
Okay, so I can talk to you why is Taboo. I mean, if there's a hole in your life that needs to be filled with something that, I mean, the reason the show is called Taboo, from my point of view, is because there is a love affair between Tom Hardy and his sister, when they're not really related, but, you know, I mean, if that's the Game of Thrones incest void is too much for you, you can definitely fill it in with this show. But I mean, there's Una Chaplin, who plays Tom Hardy's sister, was the was Robb Stark's wife.
Oh, right.
Game of Thrones. So there's that parallel there.
Who is
brother sister thing?
Legitimately, I think the granddaughter of Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter.
It's insane.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
She's very pretty too.
Yeah, she is.
But I'm sorry, that's neither here nor there.
She doesn't say much.
She doesn't say much. But I find that it's an intriguing show, and like I said, it's not for people who need something right away, like right off the start, or something that it's a little bit darker. It's dealing with things from history that I personally didn't have any interest in, the East India Company and the French American War.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any interest in that, but.
Yep.
It takes place around that time, so you've got kind of that period piece kind of thing. It's kind of like a Downton Abbey from hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you're into that.
Sure.
But there's parts of it, again, no spoilers or anything like that, but, you know, Tom Hardy is great. I think he plays intense better than anybody right now. His character, James Delaney, is just a super intense guy.
Yeah, he's really good.
And there seems to be, you know, some sort of Native American mysticism going on, maybe some like North African, like East Indies voodoo thing going on right now. So, you know, I'm into that, but it's not too over the top.
Yep.
You know, as Penny Dreadful was, I think Penny Dreadful was like way in your face. Did you ever watch that show?
I only got through like a couple episodes. I liked it, but I've been watching other things. But yeah.
Can't watch everything, right?
That's our motto here.
It's a little bit toned down. It's a little bit more political than I thought it was going to be. But some good disemboweling, some good violence. Yeah. You know, so if you're into that kind of thing, and again, even Tom Hardy himself, he used the term slow burn.
Oh, God.
So it's a bit of it takes you about 4 episodes to get cooking.
All right.
So it's all on demand. So if you want to check that out, I'd say absolutely check it out.
To me, right now, the best show on TV, and it's going to get serious competition starting next month when The Leftovers and Fargo both return, but it would be Legion. And as we were recording this, there's been 4 episodes of Legion, which again ties in great with this episode, talking about Logan, X-Men stuff. And Legion is like one of these shows where I'm not entirely sure I know what the hell is going on, but I'm not completely lost, and I don't hate that. Like usually if it's too confusing, you're like, screw this. This is legit confusing, but you know that there's a lot of layers to it. There's eventually going to be some sort of revelation, or it's also a show, and I know we all don't have time to do this, but if you can watch it more than once, like you literally need to do that. You can probably pick up on a lot of things that are going on. It's a lot like Inception in a way, because he is such he's a mutant who has so many like mental kind of power, like all of his powers are you know, through his mind.
Right.
And there's another mutant that's in there with him that can, you know, jump into your memories and things like that. So you don't know if it's like a dream sequence or if they're literally going through and going through your memory. So it's crazy. Like it's nothing. I can't even compare it to anything else. Like Inception's the closest thing, but as far as a TV show, I don't even know what it would be, but I'm fascinated to see where it goes. So
yeah.
Legion is good.
So I'm on episode 2 of this and I had a bit of an epiphany as I'm sitting there watching episode 2.
No.
I think you said it's 4 episodes in, right? And
yes.
I saw the thing where he jumps in, you know, he's talking with another mutant and he can see his memories.
Yes.
And they kind of, it's like Inception where you can kind of like live in it.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? Now, here's a theory. Does it make sense that since it's being told from his perspective, since the story is being told from his perspective, that like it would be like, you know, he's been diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic, although we know that's probably not true.
Yeah, it's not the case.
Wouldn't it make sense that the beginning of the story is all jumbled up and coming from different places and seeing different people because that's how he saw it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is one of those shows where I don't know how many of the people that are on the screen are actually real people.
Right.
We
know, I mean, if you're listening to this, there's a good chance that you went on the Marvel Wiki and looked up who Legion is.
Right. If you hadn't already read the comics, you know, by now, I wouldn't spoil it though, because some people might not want to know. Like, don't say who he's related to.
No, I'm not saying who he's related
to,
but I'm just saying if you went and saw who the character is, I mean, he's, you know, if you've read the Bible, you know, where he got his name from.
Yeah.
You know, what's your name? We are Legion because we are many. You know, that's actually in the Bible.
Yeah.
Read your Bible, people.
There was
I went to a Catholic college. I had to read the Bible cover to cover. So don't please paint me. Please don't paint me as like a Bible thumper.
I'm not going to join this cult, sir.
Yeah.
Was it episode 3? And I know you've only seen 2. I think it was episode 3 where you'll watch. So Jean Smart's character.
Yep.
She's sort of like the head of what seems to be like another version of like Xavier's school. She's getting coffee, and the coffee machine tells her like a joke. It's fascinating. Like I watched it twice, and I was trying to figure out. So it's one of those joke kind of riddle type things, and it's like,
sure.
Hey, like, would you like to hear a story, or maybe it's just a story, whatever he calls it. And it's like a really, I love the voice. It's like an old man with like a British accent type thing. It's like, would you like to hear like a story? And she's like, sure. And he tells like this whole long like meandering story, and you're like, "What is this about? Like, what? I still don't know. I really don't. Like, I'm
the
watching the show.
Coffee maker in that show is Buzz Killington from Family Guy.
Yes, pretty much. It tells a tells a tremendous story. A real thinker.
Real thinker,
if you will.
Well, I'm interested. Yeah. I'm on that episode, so I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah, let me know. Get back to me when you hear the story that the coffee machine.
I'm on vacation, brother. I got nothing but time.
Nothing but time. You can watch Legion. All right. Well, this will segue perfectly then into Ryan Davies' video game minute, which
speaking of nothing but time,
we don't have imaging for yet, but we could. Maybe someday we will.
Yep. So this week in video game minute, I think the one game if you're a game a week type person and you try to, you know. My motto of video games is much like the one in this podcast, is you can't play everything, but you can certainly fucking try.
That's right.
That's kind of my thing.
That's a winning attitude. I like that.
Yeah. So the big news out of the video game world this week is the Nintendo Switch finally dropped. which there are some issues, hardware issues with these things. I'm hearing dead pixels and, you know, screens for the handheld not working and, you know, people breaking the controller, being too rough with them. But, I mean, it's user error most of the time. Most of the time, I'd say. It's not going to be a major recall or anything. But from what I'm hearing, the games they've released, most of them are just okay. You know, Bomberman's just okay. The Switch Party thing is just okay. But the big name to come out of that is, I believe, Breath of the Wild, the new Zelda game.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Currently scoring a 98 on Metacritic.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah, they're a hard grader.
And I think IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. So
there you go.
And if you look at, there's a way you can look on Google Maps, but I'm not on Google Maps, but on Google Image Search, you can look at the size of the map.
Oh,
and
okay.
If I looked at it correctly, you can see they give you a side by side. It's like it's the biggest map on video game history ever created.
No kidding.
It fits. If I counted correctly, 6 or 7 Skyrims within one map. That's enormous.
Yeah,
I'm here.
That's
people
nuts.
Have been playing for 50 and 60 hours and still seeing things they've never seen before.
That's awesome.
Which is unbelievable.
So this will help get this. This will help move those Switches.
Oh, it has to, because this is one of the best video games made. From what I've heard, it's one of the best video games made in the past 5 years.
Holy shit! Okay,
rivaling Grand Theft Auto. You know, games like that still are playable to this day.
So. Oh yeah.
If you're going to get a Switch, I mean, in my mind, 80% of the people who buy a Nintendo Switch, this is the reason why.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now,
yeah,
if you don't have a Switch,
right?
The big title that's dropped this week is Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Okay.
From the Tom Clancy camp, which is basically you're a team of four, so you can play solo or you can play co-op. And it's four guys riding around South America, I believe, or South and Central America, taking out drug cartels. Or maybe it's Mexico, but it's it looks really cool. It's open world, total sandbox game. You can hop in and out. So I guess the multiplayer, from what I've read, is the strong suit. The campaign isn't that great.
All right.
Hopefully this is a step up in the Tom Clancy camp from The Division, which is a bit of a letdown. Sounded really cool, looked really cool, didn't play very well. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction for them.
All right. What do you say
That's it. I think that was a minute right on the nose.
That was 60 seconds of video game updates, courtesy of Ryan Davey. And what do you say we get into Logan, shall we?
Let's do it.
Non-spoilers. As promised, we start non-spoilers for Logan, which was the top movie at the box office. No surprise. Like $88 million or somewhere in there for the opening weekend. Two-part question here, Ryan.
Sure.
Did you like it, and did it live up to the hype?
Yes, and... Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. A bit of a pause.
Yeah, bit of a pause.
Interesting. All right, what do you got?
So I absolutely love this movie. And I think why I went, yes. I mean, I was hyped. I went into the theater with my ginger ale and my large popcorn.
Good.
My number one, if you go to the AMC theaters, the number one combo.
Oh, number one combo. Nice.
Absolutely. So I thought I was going to see a completely different movie.
Really?
I mean, I knew kind of the gist, but I thought, like, the tone and the speed of the movie was going to be a little bit different. And what I got, essentially, was probably the best Western movie since Unforgiven.
Yeah, definitely.
But it just so happened to have Wolverine in it.
Right.
Like, this movie was just dead nuts, like a Western movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it definitely was. I think the director even talked about, like, influences being... Unforgiven, Shane, and
Shane.
Right.
You know, that was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And then there was another one that he said was like a direct influence. So it's hilarious. Like, he's not like, oh, I'm influenced by, you know, Blade and the original X-Men. And whatever. Like, he's like, no, he's talking about like classic Westerns.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this movie was. And if you don't like Western movies, then this probably isn't for you. So I was talking to the great sounding board for the casual comic book fan is both of our wives.
Yes.
A comic book movie fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, she's like, well, was it good? I went by myself.
Yeah.
I typically, whenever we do a pod on one movie, I typically go see it by myself because I don't want anyone asking me questions or bothering me.
Yeah,
here, you know
me
what
too.
I mean? So
I'm
see it by myself.
Same way.
And I see it at a time where the only people who are seeing it with me are people who are seeing it by themselves.
Right, and hopefully they're the same people listening to this.
Right, and we look at each other, we give each other like the kind of like thumbs up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But yeah, so she said, well, was it good? And I said, oh my God, it was unbelievable. But you wouldn't like it. Like, I found myself saying that.
Interesting.
You know, because she's into, like, Guardians, and she really likes the Avengers, and she really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is not that. It is not.
It's not that at all.
And you know what? It's a hard R. And
hard R.
Yeah. You'll know why while you're watching it. And we haven't seen a ton of R. Like, when we did our episode on Deadpool, we went back and looked at some of the other, like, Watchmen and a handful of others. I think, you know, one of the Punishers. We're like, those are the R comic book movies. And a lot more miss than hit. And then Deadpool kind of really turned it on its head. And this, of course, has none of the slapsticky fourth wall breaking that Deadpool has.
No.
But this is a legit R, you know, with the violence and the language, the whole thing. But I was never like, oh, my God, like this doesn't feel right. Because once again, Deadpool is 100% a rated R character. And so can, and maybe so should be, Wolverine.
Right, and I think this is kind of the Wolverine you've been waiting for. This is the Wolverine you've been waiting 17 years to see.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, when you watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a kid, and I remember thinking, even at 8, I'm like, wait a minute, like, Leonardo has swords, why doesn't he cut anybody? Like, why doesn't anyone get cut? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah.
So, like, this is, from the very first fight scene, it is brutal.
Oh, it's on. Yeah,
like,
it is.
The violence is brutal.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of that in the spoiler portion too, just the some of the fight scenes. But yeah, it's legit R for sure.
Yeah.
What did you think of, because we've seen Hugh Jackman now portray Wolverine so many times. How do you think this one stacked up to the others?
This is the by far, like, not even close.
Right? I agree. This is the one where, and it's not the first time he's carried a movie, obviously. Even in some of the X-Men's, you could say, even with the ensemble, he carried the movie. But in this one, it's him almost the entire movie, just on him. And it's action, but it's also a emotion. Like, he absolutely crushes it.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And the movie, I say the word brutal because it's like, and this isn't a spoiler. I mean, I think you can pick this up on what you've seen from trailers and stuff. It's not just brutal from in terms of violence, but emotionally too. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Oh, it's heavy. It's a heavier movie. It's weird, as you said, you know, even calling it a comic book movie. I mean, it is, because it's one of the great characters of all time. But just the whole layout of it, even the villains, who, you know, you see some in the trailer, but even the villains, it's not like, oh, here comes the Puppet Master, or here comes Apocalypse. Like, these are all kind of like real world villains that, like, you can, like, especially that world anyway. So where would you compare it, or how would you compare it? You know, last week when we did our episode on X-Men movies, we talked about, you know, First Class, Days of Future Past, and the first two ever X-Men movies, sort of in a tier of their own.
Yep.
Is this better than those ones, or is it in that same group?
I think it's if it's in that group, it's at the top of that group, but I don't see it as one of those movies, if that makes any sense.
No, I got you. I got it.
I don't see it as, it's just so good, just like on its own.
Yeah.
You know, if this is the only Wolverine movie they ever made, it would be fine. Like, it's not a perfect movie in the sense that I think The Dark Knight is a perfect movie. I mean, this definitely had its flaws. Like, I'm not seeing it with the rose-colored glasses on and saying this is the greatest comic book movie ever made.
Right.
It's it's top five. Like, not even, like, far and away, it's top five.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because if you look back at the Dork Madness bracket that we had last year, and I mentioned what the four comic books movies were. Now, a whole year of movies have come out, including Deadpool and Civil War, so some other really good ones. But, yeah, like, you could easily put Logan in the conversation of Dark Knight and Guardians and Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, if you're paying attention and if you really like these types of movies, this has to be in the conversation as greatest comic book movie made. Has to be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anybody who's seen this movie who would disagree.
Right.
Maybe someone will do it just to, like, be a putz and, like, go on Twitter and be like, yoo-hoo, you know what I mean?
But, well, I'm sure they were. And even, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, which, again, I feel like over the last year or so, people have looked to Rotten Tomatoes way more. It's almost like it's a new site, because how many times do you see now when you're watching previews for movies on TV that they actually, like, reference the Rotten Tomatoes score? I feel like it's all the time now.
It's all the time, because it's become part of it. Like, I think that's the first place people go. Is a movie good or not? Let me check Rotten Tomatoes.
And I believe last check it was at 93%.
Right.
Which, again, those people watching it aren't like you and me who you know, love comic book movies and go in automatically giving it a certain score or automatically going to like it. I understand how Rotten Tomatoes works. Don't send me emails about...
We know how it works.
we know how it works. But still, 93% is really impressive. You know, you look at some of the movies that were nominated for Oscars, they're in that same territory or even a little bit worse. So
yeah, I think Manchester by the Sea was like 92.
Yeah, I like this a lot better than Manchester by the Sea.
You know what? Still depressing, but at least some heads rolled.
Both were a little bit, yeah. Both were sad. Now yeah. I think I know where you're going with this, but this is also for new listeners as well. We rate everything in Infinity Stones. This was Davey's idea because it's the dorkiest way possible to rate something. So it's a 6-stone scale. We don't like it, but you are allowed to do half stones. It's not ideal, but you can. So out of 6 Infinity Stones, where does Logan rank on the hashtag dork scale?
On our scale, for our people, I think this is a 6.
I 100% agree. It's a 6 out of 6.
And only because I need this movie to be a 6 on this scale, because think of the other movies that are in the comic book movie pantheon. There are over 70, maybe over 80 at this point.
Yeah.
Where your top 5, like your top percent, like this is in there with Spider-Man 2. It's in there with The Dark Knight.
Yep.
It's in there with the first Iron Man, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. So it has to be. It has to be a 6. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Plus, man, I think I gave Suicide Squad like a 4. So
I think I gave it a 3.
Right. Exactly. So I mean, you need to be able to extend it further than, like, I think I gave Doctor Strange a 5, and like this I liked way more than Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I mean it's an all-timer. Like
yeah.
We talk about the golden age of, you know, comic book movies, and we're in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
I mean this is one of the top 5 we've seen.
No end credits scene. So I know there was something announced, there was like an article that there was going to be an end credits scene. There is not, so don't sit there and in the theater and wait till the end. So don't worry about that. There was another part I was going to add to spoilers because it came on right before the movie, but it's already been released and chances are you've already seen it. Again, chances are you've probably already seen the movie, but
right.
This got released. Ryan Reynolds released it. There was a Deadpool 2 teaser that came on right at the beginning. And it was Deadpool. He goes into, we tweeted this out too at Dork Podcast, but he hears like something going on in an alley. He tries to pull a Superman and change into a phone booth. It takes him like an hour and a half to get out of the phone booth. Guy's dead. But not only that, he changes into the suit, but you look around, it says Nathan Summers coming soon on the phone booth, who of course is Cable. And how about the Firefly posters in the alley?
The Firefly posters was a good, nice touch.
Did you like the teaser?
I did. I mean, but Jesus, what a change in tone from like 1 minute to the next. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
don't you think
it was good? And then you're like, Jesus, like that's, you know.
Don't you think it made sense though? I guess to put it on the front and not at the end.
Yeah, and speaking of like,
well, it's, yeah, yeah,
and because I think that was a wise choice, and I think that was done intentionally.
Yeah.
Because at the end of Logan, again, this is the spoiler-free aspect, but it would just be incredibly inappropriate to put that at the end.
Right. Like, these characters, it's too bad because these two characters are the two best things that Fox has going for them right now. But it's great that, you know, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman tweet at each other back and forth. But, like, the actual characters, it just, it'd be cool, but it also wouldn't fit. And so they're not in there. And so you get the Deadpool teaser here at the beginning. Anything else non-spoiler you want to hit on before we get to spoilers?
No, because I can't wait to talk about the spoilers. So
okay. All right.
Jump out. If you haven't seen it, jump off.
All right. So spoiler alert here for Logan. First thing I would say is a lot of people thought that it was going to be more based off of Old Man Logan. Right? Because remember Hugh Jackman even said at one point, he's like, I got like 3 words for you. Like at one of the Comic-Cons like forever ago,
yeah.
He's like, Old Man Logan. And we're like, oh, snap. And then they named the movie Logan. But then you're like, well, the Fox Studios doesn't have the rights to like 80% of the characters in that comic book. So you're like, well, maybe it'll be loosely based. And the only way, like the only real connection to it is he's older. Like he's older. He's not recovering the same way that he used to be. And he is kind of on a little bit of a like a trip, right? Like he's on. It's a bit of a like a journey type movie. Like that. Those are probably the only similarities to the graphic novel Old Man Logan.
And then the other thing they pulled it from was the Death of Wolverine, that series, the miniseries.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I read that too. Yeah,
12.
Yeah.
Which dealt with him dealing with adamantium poisoning.
Yes. Yeah.
Wasn't there like some like cosmic thing that caused his healing factor not to work anymore?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So,
So I think it was like a marriage of those two things. And like you said, I don't think. Well, I would have loved to have seen Old Man Logan with the Banner family and like all that stuff. You just can't. In this day and age where people sue each other all the time, you just can't do that.
Yeah,
stuff.
It would have been impossible. Like that, as I was watching it, I'm like, I love this movie, but I'm like, I would like to have seen him in that, like almost like shot for shot. I would have loved to have seen that movie, but this was still great. And it takes place in 2029, and it's him, it's Professor X. We're going to get into all of the other characters. But the fight scenes were off the charts
From the beginning.
Right away.
Like, it was just brutal. Like, I know I used that word already, yeah. But Jesus, when the guys are, like, trying to take his hubcaps off the car.
Well, because it's...
And you're like, here we go, you know, and then you're just like, whoa. Like, there were people next to me who I didn't think they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I didn't either. Like, people said, oh, it's a hard R, but, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean to them? And then in the first 5 minutes, you're like, oh, this is how this is going to be, you know?
Yeah, because it is, like, because he's not full 100% Wolverine, it's gruesome. Because, like, he can take a beating, but it's, like, a real slow recovery.
Yeah.
And then, I'm telling you right now, and we've seen it in a bunch of movies, and some it's been a little bit better than others, but, like, his claws, like, when he kills somebody... It's so much better than maybe any other comic book character kill.
Yes.
Like, it's unbelievable. Like, so the scene in which they're at, like, you know, where they've been stashing Charles Xavier and, like, where Caliban is, the first time, like, the Reavers show up and it's X-23 and Logan, like, that fighting scene.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was doing this till the end, but I like sat up straight in my seat. I think I had my mouth like wide open, like not even trying. Like I saw it by myself, so I wasn't trying to get a reaction from anybody. But I was like so, it was intense, but yet I was happy. It was very strange. It was a very strange thing. But as I was watching that, I said, "Is this the greatest fight scene we have ever seen?"
I mean, it's up there. I mean, you have, I forget the young actress's name who plays X-23. Her name escapes me right now. This was her first movie.
And she's like legit, I think they say she's 11 in the movie, and I think she's legitimately like 11 or 12.
And she's hitting like, I don't know where they'd find like a little child stunt double. I don't know how much she did on her own.
I don't know.
But she's like hitting hurricanranas with like the claws in her feet and like kicking people in the throat and, you know.
But like.
I mean, it was like.
Yeah,
like a ping pong ball. I mean, it was awesome.
But it's why like the best Wolverine movie you knew was going to be rated R, because think back to some of the other X-Men movies. Like, yeah, Wolverine technically would kill people, but it would sort of be like off screen, or he'd like stab him through like a shirt or whatever else. Like this is, he's doing headshots where you see like the claws come out of the brain. He like the girl is just jumping around, and you know she's got the two claws on her hands, and then the one claw on her foot. And yeah. Just the acrobatics and like the noises that it makes.
Oh, gruesome.
Oh my God. And so that to me, and again, I'm well aware I'm one of these people that walk out of a movie and I'm like, that's the greatest movie I've ever seen. And like, that's the greatest performance I've ever seen. I loved the Civil War, like airport scene. I loved, you know, actually some of the fight scenes in Deadpool, you know, some of the Daredevil TV show. I think this was the best. Because like, yeah. Think about the Civil War one's so different because it's like 12 awesome characters showing off their powers, but like nobody dies. Nobody, it's you know, and you know they're not going to.
Right.
Whereas this is something out of, like you said, either a Western or like the Terminator or one of those type of movies.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those like, you know, those saloon gunfight that you see like dozens of people die. I mean, that's,
yeah,
everything just reeks of Western. But the other thing that I really like too, the other fight scene, and then they, after that, the one with the hotel room where Xavier is having like one of his
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Having one of his
seizures.
What do the old people call it? A spell. He's having a spell.
He certainly was having a bit of a spell.
But, like, they're like, it was almost like the Quicksilver scene where, like, everything stopped but them.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get to him. Like, X-23 and Wolverine, Laura, let's call her Laura.
Yeah.
Laura and Wolverine are trying to get to him, and they're the only ones who can kind of fight through it.
Yeah.
And it was subtle, but, like, the guy by the door, the first guy he sees.
Oh, when he looks at him?
Claws, he kind of looks at him.
Yeah.
Like, he can kind of move, and he can't, oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah, yeah. They had a bunch of scenes, and it was spaced out, you know, like, it was, when it would be kind of slow, like, that would just sort of set up just how nuts the next fight scene would be.
Absolutely. And I think the director did a really good job of knowing when you've hit enough of a lull that
yeah.
you knew you could feel it building, that the shit was going to hit the fan.
I still can't believe, like, it is a great question, like, how much the young actress really did, like, because she killed so many people in the movie.
Yeah.
And was, like, sliding around, like, cutting guys in the leg and stabbing them through the neck. And you're just like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I like when she did the belly slide underneath the garage door. I'm like, that was a pretty good move.
Yeah. She's very agile. It would be like a 10, an agility.
Yeah.
But that was sick. Now, obviously, a couple of huge deaths in this. What did you think of the Professor X death?
I thought it was appropriate. I thought it was well done. I think at the part of that movie, you couldn't really see them carrying him the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I thought it was a dream sequence at first.
I did too. And there, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get into that in a second. But,
yep.
You know, Patrick Stewart was very adamant that this was his last movie. I don't think they can bring him back.
Yeah.
You know, after that, I mean,
although he's,
but it was good to kind of what he thought. He was talking to Wolverine and he's telling him, like, I didn't remember it, but now I remember it. And he did that awful thing where, you know, he killed 7 of the X-Men and like 600 people.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to ask you too, was that, so he killed what, all of the mutants or just
instead? So on the radio, it said that he killed 7 of the X-Men. Like, remember he was listening to it on the radio?
Yeah, yeah.
They called the Westchester incident. They said 600 were killed or injured, and 7 of the X, and he turns the radio off.
So let's say it's got to be Cyclops, Storm, Iceman, Rogue, Colossus.
Yeah, because Beast.
Beast. And I would assume Jean Grey got away, or was like the Phoenix at that point.
Or she had died at some point.
Maybe Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde didn't.
So that's probably who he killed. Because was it Sander no. Yeah, was it Sander Rice? He made a comment about like how he gotten rid of all the mutants. And so I wasn't sure what that meant, unless he was just referring to like the ones that were like test subjects.
I think so what's his name? Donald Pierce says something, show some respect. This is the guy who killed all the mutants.
Yeah.
And he said, No, I didn't kill all of them. Like, I just cured them or something like that?
Yeah, well, yeah. So,
I don't think he killed them all. I just think he made it so that no more would be born.
Yeah, because they also make a point that they say there hasn't been a mutant born in, like, 25 years.
Yeah.
Which also throws the timeline completely, well, I shouldn't say.
Not really.
Kind of. I mean, the timeline was always messed up anyway.
Right.
Because when, like, in Days of Future Past, it wiped out so much. But the one thing that you have, even like as an audience member, is that Professor X and Wolverine should remember like everything. Like everything that we've seen, though, that those guys have like lived through, like they probably remember it, but nobody else does.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind of a mind.
I would also like to say, too, there was a good Latin joke in there for those of you who take Latin at home, where he says, oh, it's, you know, the world's most notorious octogenarian. And he's like, actually, I'm a nonagenarian. Which is a Latin joke.
Did you laugh out loud in the theater?
I did like a ha. You know, like one of those.
Everyone's like, what?
For those of you who don't take Latin, an octogenarian is someone in their 80s, a nonagenarian is someone in their 90s.
Nice.
So,
that is a good Latin joke.
That's a good Latin joke.
We should have led with that.
Yeah.
Just to keep the listeners, you know, honest. All right, so yeah, the Professor X death was surprising, to say the least. Well, no, not surprising that he died in the movie, but it was surprising at the time that he did. That's what I would say. Like I was kind of surprised that took place. What about, of course, Wolverine's death, Logan's death?
Whew, yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
And
you know, you knew it was coming,
right?
You know. And I think a lot of it is, I mean, I don't want to get into, you know, the literary side of it, you know, but the writing portion of it, you know, you got to figure, like, him and Xavier both knew that they weren't going to make it back to El Paso, or they weren't going to make it back to Mexico. They were never getting to the boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of the literary aspect of it is, you know, they have this thing that they're building towards, but both of them know that they're not going to get there.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that they talk about. And you're like, we're gonna go do this. Although,
and even when they first mention it, you're like, you're not getting to that fucking boat.
Yeah, like that's a nice thought.
Yeah.
What about
But when she took the cross,
made it an X.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
awesome idea.
That was pretty good. And then just all like the new mutants kind of just burying them and talking about them. Like they were all fans of his. What did you think of that? What did you think of they're actually being like X-Men comics in the universe?
I mean, I think that's kind of a clever idea to say, like, you know, because even in Westerns, you know, they would do, you know, with, say, like Billy the Kid, like someone like that. They would make comic books and about stories that he did and kind of like adventures and sell them. You know, so I think that's, again, a nod to Westerns and things like that, where he says, you know, like a quarter of this shit never happened.
Right.
Or a quarter of it did happen and the three quarters of it never happened.
Exactly.
You know, so there's the split between the man and the myth, and you see the little kid at the end, the little black kid holding a Wolverine action figure, like at his funeral.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think, again, that's a whole huge Western thing. You know where I saw that happen, too, in a recent movie? Not an old Western, but in Young Guns.
Okay, there you go.
They talk about that a lot, where there's, you know, Billy the Kid comic books, and
it also,
know, they finally meet him, and there's a disparity between who the real person is and what the comic book person is.
It also reminded me of the graphic novel The Boys, which I know you recommended for me.
Yes, it did.
And that, I mean, that's a little bit more over the top, but as far as, like, the superheroes, their whole, like, premise is so, like, they can, like, sell comic books of themselves,
right.
kind of thing. But I was like, yeah, that's kind of interesting, but at least it made them so you understood where their respect for Wolverine came from.
Yeah, and people know who he is.
Right.
You know, and there's like this this thing that they're building towards Eden or, you know, something like that, that this place may or may not exist because it was written about in comics.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now, taking a look at the character breakdown, we already talked about Logan and how Hugh Jackman, it was his best performance out of, you know, like 15 Wolverine performances. This was tremendous. He also portrayed X-24, who I was not aware of. In fact, I don't think he was ever in the comics, right? I think X-24 is a movie only thing. At first,
I've never read anything with X-24.
No, neither have I. And so at first I didn't really like it. But then when you're looking at it, you're like, well, this whole movie is about how you can sort of, you know, spin off the DNA and you can make other, you know, mutants and stuff. And so why wouldn't you just try to get a you know, the exact same thing as Wolverine?
Right.
And so he pops up and like, what would be a tougher opponent for him than himself? Like a mirror match.
Yeah. And the other thing I and this is the English teacher in me now coming out, is we've done the Latin teacher. Here comes the English teacher.
Wow.
I think that X-24 is what Wolverine was intended to be.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. 100%.
He went another way. And I think he says to, you know, Laura at one point, like, don't be what they made you to be.
Yeah, don't be like the weapon or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was the weapon. He didn't have any lines. He didn't say anything.
No,
he's just, what's his name? Talked to him like he was a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Rice.
You know.
Yeah.
And he was an animal. So I mean, and he called him a tool at one point.
Yep.
You know, so I think that's what he was intended to be, but never did it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the purpose of the Weapon X program, and that's what you saw, and that's what he should have been, and didn't work out that way.
No, so he was solid in that role. Again, at first I was like, I don't know if I like this, but then it ended up, I think, working out.
Now, I read something
yes.
that character was supposed to be Liev Schreiber in Sabretooth. That the early script was that it was Sabretooth and not X-24.
Yes.
Would that have changed it for you?
Yeah, I think I would have liked it better. Well, actually, initially, I know I would have liked it better. Been like, oh, cool, like Sabretooth, because that's always been a great rival with Wolverine. But even looking back on it now, I'm like, I don't really mind the choice to go with X-24.
No, because then, like, you know, the way Charles dies wouldn't have really made that much sense. And
yeah. No, this is probably better.
But I think in the early workings of the script that was the plan.
Charles,
which is cool. But.
No, that is cool. Charles, on the other hand, he was great too. I mean, he knew Patrick Stewart was going to be good, but he's also playing a guy who's kind of just losing his marbles, and so he has to play, which makes sense for somebody that can hear like everybody's thoughts and has so much, you know, these mind powers. It's not going to end pretty for him, and so he did a great job at that.
Yeah, and I think, and I hadn't really thought of that before. Like, what if, you know, what would happen? You know, if they start to deteriorate, like what would happen to his mind? And if he starts, you know, not recognizing people or not knowing what's true and what's not, you know, it was kind of a cool concept.
And I think that's one of those things where, especially if you're like a younger fan, like say you're like a young like teenager and you're watching the early X-Men movies and you sort of see Professor X and Wolverine and like their relationship there and like how they kind of go back and forth at each other a little bit. But then if you were to watch this, like I think it'd be pretty uncomfortable because there's times where you're like, all right, is he really completely losing his mind? Like, does he know who he's talking with here and like having to get a medicine? And it's just, it's a hard watch.
Yeah.
I mean, even for, you know, in our 30s, it could be a little bit of a hard watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough to say. I mean, this movie was just brutal.
It was heavy. Yeah.
Like, and this is somebody who we've all, you know, this is like he can oftentimes be like the voice of God. Like he can stop.
Literally.
He can alter reality. And, you know, and this is a guy everything he said as an audience and as a member of the X-Men, I'm sure, like everything he said is true. And now you're like, well, maybe he's losing it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, which is hard. It's hard to watch.
No, it absolutely was. You got X-23 or Laura, who, as Davey said, it's her first movie she's ever been in. And I said when we were making predictions for the movie, I said she could kind of make or break it because child actors they're more bad than good, mm-hmm. and you weren't sure. And as the movie was going along, you were thinking, well, she might not even talk the whole time. Like she didn't talk forever, so much so that I thought maybe she wouldn't. And then she did, and it was fine. Like she was good throughout. I had no problem with her.
No, I didn't. And I think that if I were to have one knock on the movie, it would be not so that she didn't talk initially, but that she talked sooner. Like I thought one of the funniest parts of the movie was when she was like, "He's like, wait, you talk?" And then she like punched him in the face and just started ripping off Spanish. And also an observation on our society: isn't it odd how much Spanish that filmmakers think that you understand?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just assume that you can speak, like, very basic Spanish.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us can.
I can.
Yeah, but right.
When she started going really fast, I had no idea what she was saying. And maybe that was the point. I don't know.
Yeah.
There were some phrases she said that I didn't know what that – I don't know what that means.
No, I don't think you were supposed to. I mean, because Logan didn't know what she was saying. So, but, yeah, no, that was – she was good. I was pleasantly surprised with her. I had no idea, actually, what to expect. But she was great. What'd you make?
Here's something. I'm sorry.
No.
This is just. I'm gonna. I gotta get this off my chest.
Please.
Because it bothered me in the movie.
Please.
Did you notice that people who speak English now have subtitles more than people who speak Spanish? Like, if you look at like the idiot rednecks they have on like Lifetime or like whatever Bravo show, whatever, and they're speaking in a southern accent, so they need subtitles. Like Honey Boo Boo, like often needs subtitles.
This is like a bigger picture type of.
Yeah, this is
thought.
A bigger picture kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
No, I like it.
So those idiots need subtitles because they can't speak English.
Any language.
But people who speak Spanish, we don't need subtitles for them anymore.
No, because we can figure it out.
Which is it's odd to me.
All right, maybe next week we'll have a further breakdown. Yeah. What did you make of Caliban, who we also saw him in X-Men Apocalypse? He was played by a different actor, but they had a very similar look.
Yeah, a very similar look and a very completely different characters. you know, the Caliban in Apocalypse referred to himself in the third person, and it was kind of creepy and an
real
information
creepy.
Broker.
Yeah.
And this Caliban, first of all, we talked about this a little bit on the podcast last week. Hugh Jackman is a mountain of a man.
Yes.
And Wolverine is not supposed to be that big.
He's short.
Maybe they Steve Merchant is like 6'6 or 6'7.
Oh, so maybe that's why they Yeah, maybe. I mean, he was good anyway, but yeah, that could be part of it. Sure.
Yeah, he's the only person they could find, some gangly guy who's taller than Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it, but I think, I mean, he's a really funny guy.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see him in this bit of a role as someone who burns from the sun very easily. It was nice to see our type of person represented on the screen. That's
yep.
nice.
Yep. Our Irish skin can relate
yep.
to
for all of us who do 30 plus with the SPF.
Yep. Shout out to Caliban on that.
Shout
on
out
that
to
front.
You. Yeah. Now, I also avoid the sun.
I try. I need to. Besides X-24, the other main villains, you had Xander Rice, whose father was killed by Wolverine in X-Men Apocalypse. So as bad as X-Men Apocalypse was, there were some carryover things. Plus, of course, the whole end credit scene, which you weren't sure if it was going to be for Deadpool or for what it was going to be, but it was really about them taking Logan's DNA so they could make X-23. I mean, that's what that was about. But so Xander Rice, who's also in charge of the Reavers, and Donald Pierce. What did you think of those guys?
I thought they were good. I mean, the Donald Pierce that we saw was not the Donald Pierce from the comic books, thank God.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
You ever done it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever read any of that? He was just kind of a real fancy boy.
Yes.
And we did not get that. So that was good. And I like the Southern accent. I like the actor who's kind of like a JV Ben Foster.
Yeah, he really was.
But you can't use Ben Foster, obviously, because he was
no.
in an X-Men movie. But,
no, no.
You know, he was kind of that, but it was nice to see.
He was Archangel.
You know, kind of a, yes, he was. Yes, he was.
In The Last Stand.
In The Last Stand.
Yeah. Not,
but
not a great
movie. I rather enjoyed them. Maybe, you know, Xander Pierce, we could have used,
Xander Rice.
Xander Rice. We could have used a little bit more of
him. Kind of like a William Stryker role.
Yeah,
you know, very similar to that.
Bad guy. The big bad.
The big bad, as it
yeah,
were.
He went down pretty quickly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thought there was going to be a little bit more build up, and they're gonna. But Jesus Christ, did Donald Pierce die?
Oh my God. He died. Yep.
He died.
There were some
you ever
death
had a
scenes.
A group of pissed off preteen mutants just standing, and all of them simultaneously using their powers on you.
They all had powers, and there was leaks to who they lined up with, and one of them. When they were going through the files and it said like who they were stealing DNA from and like who like they were cloned basically from. And so you had Wolverine. Another one was Chris Bradley, who
yep.
is referred to as either Bolt or Maverick in some of the different comics. But Chris Bradley was in X-Men Origins. Wolverine was one of the hobbits. You know that guy, the actor who's like one of the yep. not Frodo or but he was one of the hobbits.
He was Merry or Pippin.
Yeah, he was. So he was in that movie. But yep. That was one of the kids. And then there was one kid, must have been like Iceman. He had like an ice thing going on.
The ice breath, yeah.
Yeah, he had the ice breath. So there was all kinds of new mutants going on.
He's got like the Sub-Zero fatality going on.
Yeah, so that was sweet. Mm-hmm. Would you want to see a new mutants movie?
And I guess, one more. Richter, the oldest kid.
Oh, yeah, like the leader.
I guess he was the leader of the X-Force or the New Mutants or something like that.
Yeah.
At some point.
So that, there you go.
That makes sense. You know, so I mean, would I, after this, maybe not. I mean, part of me wants to be like, just let this go. Like, this
just
this
end
is
it.
The end of that.
Yeah.
You know, because it was so good and you don't want to,
yeah,
you don't want to carry that on. You don't want to limp to the finish there. You want to end that with a bang, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't know. I'm probably good. Like, as cool as X-23 was, and they'll probably make a movie with her. I don't think so. For me,
no.
I don't think I need a new mutants movie altogether.
Maybe down the road at some point. But
what else do you got here in Logan? Anything?
Yeah, I saw one of the cool things I saw, and I think this was a shot of a nod to Old Man Logan. If you look when he's in the scene with the funeral, when he's like just being a limo driver and it's pissing rain and everything like that, the grave he's standing in front of, the last name on the grave is Rogers.
Oh, you think Captain America?
I think, but at some point at Old Man Logan, don't they see his grave? Don't they see Captain America's grave?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because at that point, it's just a bunch of villains living. There's, like, no heroes left.
There's no heroes.
There's only, like, a few, so.
Yeah. But the grave he's standing in front of is Rogers. I mean, that's, it was clear. It was right in the foreground.
No, I did see that. That's a good point. That's a good one.
So, yeah. And there are flashbacks to him going to some funerals, I believe.
Yeah.
In Old Man Logan, the book.
Right. And now, obviously, in the movie, like, he was at one, too, which is as a driver.
And there's a bunch of little stuff that, you know, you wonder if it's a nod to this or that. I mean,
yeah, I like to think that it is.
So many, like, there's one where he walks out of the doctor's office after getting cut up by X-24.
Yeah,
there's a sign for Hanks, and it's white, but the lettering is like super blue.
Oh yeah, gotta be McCoy.
Hank McCoy, you know, so. There's little things like that throughout the movie, just littered throughout the movie, and some of the stuff they talk about, you know, it's just really well done, but subtle, but like really well done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this is one of those times where people like us really appreciate the lengths that a director or a writer will go to just like, if you get it, like, this is for you. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know this is going to sound really sappy. It's not, but like means a lot. But no, but like that means a lot to audiences like us.
Oh, I agree 100%.
You know, just to have something for us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you could tell that it meant a lot to them. Plus, you know, I think we're learning this with like the actor too. Like we can't completely blame directors for bad comic book movies, I feel like, because Ryan Reynolds wanted Deadpool to be good and he was like all about it. And you know Hugh Jackman takes a ton of pride in Wolverine, and like it shows, and like they're not going to do something that's now I know X-Men Origins Wolverine was terrible, but that was a long time ago, so for the most part he does great stuff, and this was a great way to cap it off. Like if you're gonna kill off one of the top characters, do it in a meaningful way. Don't do it like they did it in Last Stand with Professor X and Cyclops and everybody else who died in that.
Yeah, that was stupid.
All right, you ready to move on, or you're good?
Yeah, I'm good. No, so please, if you haven't seen this yet, I mean, there's no way you should be here right now. So
right,
for those
wouldn't make sense.
So the only people listening,
see it again,
who already saw it.
Yeah.
So good job.
Great start to the year, by the way. We knew there's a bunch of comic book movies, and this one A+ or 6 out of 6 right out of the shoot.
6 out of 6, and we got Guardians next month or 2 months, May, right?
That's right.
Yep. And Fate of the Furious, which I saw a trailer for. Are we still doing this?
Yeah, that's Fast
it's
8.
Like, it's like the, this is going to sound really bad. It's like the ghetto Expendables.
Come on. No, Fast 7 was great.
Yeah, but like that's what it's turned into. It's like, yeah. Who's done an action movie? All right, you're in.
Sign them up. Get them in
you
there.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
All right.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the
Pick of the podcast time. Davey, I will let you go first.
You let me go first. Pick of the podcast right now. I don't really have an official one.
That's fine.
That's
fine.
Week, but,
you know what? You can lump in with mine because we were both there. The pick of the podcast is actually going to serve as a preview for next week's podcast.
Yeah.
As Davey and I were both at Northeast Comic Con in beautiful Hanover, Massachusetts. Took place at the Hanover Mall. It was a hollowed out JCPenney.
You can't make that up.
That is all true. We were there on Saturday. Our buddies from the Mac and Goo podcast were there as well. And we had a chance to interview a few people. And we're going to play that audio for you next week. Here's a sneak peek of some of that.
Ready to go up and fight with Odin in Asgard because he killed my father.
What do you think?
I was there for that conversation, and this lady, she was excited to be there in beautiful Hanover, Massachusetts.
She was dressed up. That's why we spoke with her, and she had a lot to say.
I needed satisfaction.
Yep.
What?
I needed satisfaction.
She needed satisfaction?
Needed satisfaction.
Some weird good.
We are geld.
And it was good to hook up with Mac and Goo. I finally got to meet Mac and Goo, which was great.
Yes.
I got to explain to Goo that, no, I didn't hate your promos, but it was funnier to hate them. We actually got to hash that out over some rum punches.
Well, now you're ruining it for everybody, because everybody thought that there was a big rivalry between you and Goo.
When I saw him standing in front of me, you know, and the free lesson he gave us in guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, they did a great job at Comic-Con, just littering their new little posters of Mac and Goo and MacandGoo.com. Look at that, we're promoting them now, so it's obviously working.
It's a real education. Also, my pick of the podcast, by the way, I got one. Since now we're talking about it, there is a family connection here. Hang on 1 second. I got the name of it. It's a very strange name.
I mean,
I believe it's the Good Brothers podcast.
What is that?
The Good Brothers podcast is the Fridge's new wrestling podcast.
Oh, there you go.
If you guys are into WWE, the Good Brothers podcast is coming at you soon. Our mutual friend, the Fridge, whose father actually works at WEEI.
That's correct.
As an engineer, he is probably, I've known him for over 20 years, and it's interesting to see how into professional wrestling one person can be.
Yeah. He's into it for sure.
Yeah, and he's watching all like the Japanese pro stuff and even some Lucha Libre down in Mexico.
He's got it all.
So
yeah.
He's got it all. So if you guys like professional wrestling and maybe some stuff off the beaten path wrestling, not this Bill Goldberg crap,
no.
But actually like real
get out
wrestling,
of here.
Check them out for sure.
All right, well, you can check us out on the Twitter at Dork Podcast. Also, weei.com/dork. Plus, I'm being promised we're going to have our iTunes channel soon, and when we do, we're going to promote the hell out of that. Davey, where
I've
can
heard that all. I've heard that all before,
no,
by
I know.
The way.
Where can you they know, find you?
You can find me at @rvonD on both Twitter and Twitch.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Hashtag Dork. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.